The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Will the deposits in every community bank in Oklahoma, regardless of their size, be fully insured now? Are they fully recovered? Every bank, every community bank in Oklahoma, regardless of the size of the deposit, will they get the same treatment that SVB just got or Signature Bank just got?
A bank only gets that treatment if a majority of the FDIC board, a supermajority of the Fed board, and I, in consultation with the president, determine that the failure to protect uninsured depositors would create systemic risk and significant economic and financial consequences.
Really is. It's almost painful to watch your country die. There she is saying, well, first she's asked from the good senator of Oklahoma, what about the small banks? What about the local or regional banks in states like mine in Oklahoma? And she says there, basically, it's will worship. It's we'll do when it has to be a supermajority at the FDIC. And then I will consult with the president and we will decide. They can't even here. They've bailed out everyone from this bank from Silicon Valley. All these Democrat donors, all these left-wing causes. It's going under because of these people, because of Bidenflation. And she can't even guarantee the same standards for the little guy, the regional guy. Never mind what the standard is over here. We'll do what we will do. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last show of the week. You can get to this show at trumpetdaily.com. Trumpetdaily.com takes you right to the live stream page. Of course, you can watch the program on demand if you miss the live stream show. And of course, you can have the program downloaded to your device as well. So as I say, it's great to be with you on this beautiful Friday afternoon after a relatively dreary day yesterday. So they've effectively, these communists, and this is good communism, by the way, they've effectively nationalized the banking system, and they've made guarantees for the big guys, for the billion-dollar donors, for the billionaires, for the big companies, not the small ones. Now, look, if you're trying to set up a small business here in central Oklahoma, I mean, you're going to need local banks like Arvest or like Farmers and Merchants. Because if you go off to Chase Manhattan or Bank of America, they're probably not going to give you that loan for a small business. That's what this is doing. It's crushing small business. It's just like the people of East Palestine. It's crushing those people, even as it helps the Chinese companies that had their money at SVB. It's unbelievable. Like I say, help all of the immigrants coming across the border, help Ukraine, help the communist Chinese, but don't help Americans. What government in any nation in the world looks out for citizens abroad more so than their own citizens? I'm not saying that, you know, a selfish interest is God's government either. But this is how nations die. That's what we're watching. Suicide. Now, they think they're setting up their communist utopian dream, and they think that it will never fail. That it will never fail. That they're too big. They're too important to fail. It's just like the big banks. Too big. Too important. Listen again to this testimony from the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, yesterday, clip two.
So what is
and
your
we
plan?
Made that determination.
Right. So what is your
banks.
Plan to keep large depositors from moving their funds out of community banks into the big banks. We have seen the mergers of banks over the past decade. I'm concerned you're about to accelerate that by encouraging anyone who has a large deposit in a community bank to say, we're not going to make you whole, but if you go to one of our preferred banks, we will make you whole at that point.
That's certainly not something that we're encouraging.
That is happening right now.
It's happening, as Lankford says. If you've got more than 250,000, there's some rich people in Oklahoma, just like there is in every state. But just think about it. If you're fairly wealthy in Oklahoma and you've got more than $250,000 in a small bank in Oklahoma because you want to promote Oklahoma business, why would you want to keep your money in a local bank when you can't even get the Treasury Secretary to guarantee that the government will look out for you, just like the Chinese accounts at SVB? So you know what this leads to. You know what's going to happen. More banks are going to collapse, and it's going to be the smaller ones. And it's just going to boil down to the 5 or 6 or 7 big banks in the United States, just like the communists want. Crush the little guy. Crush the middle class. Consolidate power. If you've only got 6 or 7 big banks, I mean, look at the control. Look at the power that these communist leaders are amassing. It's just like my father brings out in Great Again, in America Under Attack. They want to consolidate and centralize, whether it's police forces, whether it's now banking, all of it, because they want control. Listen to this next clip and see how, again, it's just will worship on display. We're going to do this because, well, it's our judgment. This is what we think, which we just think it should be done. Clip number 10.
It's happening because you're fully insured no matter what the amount is. If you're in a big bank, you're not fully insured if you're in a community bank.
Well, you're not fully insured. And
you were at Signature, it just barely met that threshold. You were at Signature.
Well, we felt that there was a serious risk of contagion that could have brought down and triggered runs on many banks. And that something, given that our judgment is that the banking system overall is safe and sound, depositors should have confidence in the system, and we took these actions.
So there's a special assessment that's been done on community banks in my state and all banks across the country. Was there any discussion that special assessment would only apply to the larger banks, or was it always assumed the special assessment would cover every bank, including rural banks in my state?
I'm not certain what the rules are around that.
She talks about their judgment. She talks about we took these actions because we felt that we needed to. We felt there was the danger of a contagion. Okay, so then are you going to protect everyone? I can't very well say that. There's a great opinion piece at the New York Times, which basically says that the FDIC is encouraging banks to carry out risky investments, to engage in risky behavior. We made the point. You see this right across the board, don't you? We made the point about the cure being worse than the disease back in the summer of 2020 when all those lockdowns were being imposed upon Western nations. And we said, look, this is going to lead to a lot worse. We said the same thing when the vaccine was rolled out. And this too. I mean, it's a replay of 2008. And after 2008, I mean, Western nations got together and said, look, we can't just do this again. This is going to destroy the world economy. That's where this is headed. And we'll get to what Herbert Armstrong said back in the 1980s and even before that about the economic collapse triggering the final fulfillment of so many of these signature prophecies that he proclaimed for decades. And this is where we're headed. Anyway, this New York Times piece, it says here, in the rescue of SVB on Friday and of Signature Bank in New York 2 days later, the FDIC overtly ignored the cap. There's a $250,000 cap, right? And so beyond that, I mean, If you put that much money in that bank, I mean, you're taking a calculated risk if you're rich and wealthy. But that's just the way it is in capitalism. There's always a chance you could lose money as well. But if the government comes along and bails out anyone and everyone, all the rich fat cats, the ones that the Biden people are constantly slamming and criticizing. We're going to tax the wealthy. We're going to go after the wealthy. We're going to go after big business. Well, when those wealthy people are Democrat donors, when they're contributing to Joe Obama, to the Clinton Foundation and the like, when they're contributing to all these woke causes, they get bailed out in a hurry. That's right. I mean, the bank collapsed, what was it, Friday? Then they had their secret meeting Sunday night. And then you hear Monday, hey, everything's good. Everyone's going to be taken care of. This is not a bailout. It's not going to fall on the taxpayers' shoulders. They just lie all the way through. One lie on top of another. It says here, overtly ignored the cap and rescued all depositors, irrespective of size. This is a breathtaking leap. I mean, this is something that the New York Times put in their news pages. A breathtaking leap. Says here, rescued seven-figure depositors were primarily venture companies steeped in the ideology of investing. It says the first plank of capitalism is that it entails risk. You cannot sensibly invest without assessing the chance for loss. So, in other words, if you know that the government's always going to bail you out, then what's to prevent you from just taking the riskiest venture of your life? Even these banks. I mean, if they know Big Brother's going to bail out the big ones, well, then what's to stop the big bank CEOs and board members from saying, hey, let's shoot for the moon then. If we lose everything, the government will pay it back. I mean, a child could understand this. But there you've got Yellen, and it's all the same people, like Sam said before the show today. You know, it was refreshing when Donald Trump comes in and you see some different people. And then they steal the election, and who do we see? All the same people that we saw back in 2016. They reemerge. The Obama people. The left-wing ideologues. The communists. It's like they, as Sam said, they hang out in the back alley behind the White House just waiting for the communists to get in there. What do they do when they're not in power? Who knows? But when they're in power, I mean, they are sons of destruction, for sure. Says here, if venture firms relied on groupthink rather than financial due diligence, that was their doing. In the case of Signature, which was exposed to the crypto industry, the rescue probably bailed out gamblers on speculative assets. That's who we're rescuing. Gamblers and the communists. Lots of Chinese investors, too. They're in Silicon Valley and at SVB. This is the destruction of capitalism. That's what we're seeing. And as I say, that's exactly what the communists want. Listen to Peter Schiff. He was on with Laura Ingraham last night, clip 6.
Well, American capitalism broke down a long time ago, and the latest bailout effort is just another nail in that coffin.
It's just another nail in the coffin. Move ahead to that clip from George W. Bush. This was from back in, we've been here before. This was from back in 2008. You had the housing market collapse, Lehman Brothers, all that was going on. And then Bush, as he was sort of setting the stage for Obama to come in and to continue on with the same policies. They're all the same, the Uniparty. Listen to what George Bush said about his intervention on the U.S. economy, the world economy, in fact, back in 2008.
But you can't be the president that oversees the collapse of the auto industry in the U.S.
Well, obviously have made a decision to make sure the economy doesn't collapse. I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market? In other words, I'm taking these dictatorial measures because I'm trying to save the free market. It's like Peter Schiff said last night. I mean, capitalism broke down a long time ago. This is like the nail in the coffin. Hey, if you're a big bank, if you've got all those Dem donors, we'll bail you out, every single one. Even if you're just gambling. We'll be right there to help you. Listen to Schiff again from last evening, clip 7.
The reason that we are now having another financial crisis, and it would already be a lot worse if we hadn't made the mistake of backstopping all these insolvent banks, but the reason they got insolvent was because of the government. The Federal Reserve kept interest rates at zero for 12 years, quantitative easing, and during that time, banks and pretty much everybody else loaded up on low-yielding debt. But in order to keep interest rates that low, the Federal Reserve had to create massive inflation. They called it quantitative easing, and the adverse consequences really started to show up last year.
Anyone could have seen this coming, certainly if you're in that man's field. Like me, I can't say that for all the common man like me, but if you're in that industry, you could have seen the handwriting on the wall, for sure. And, of course, he was one of a few that were warning last year. This is where it's headed, this runaway inflation. It's going to lead to a banking crisis. And as he said, it's all brought on because of the government. The cure is worse than the disease. Always, always, here comes the government. Here comes Janet Yellen. She's going to save the day. She's going to reassure you. If you live in central Oklahoma or eastern Ohio, hey, don't worry. Now, don't worry if your regional bank collapses. Look, we've got the big guys in Manhattan. They'll take care of you, will they? Do the big guys in D.C. take care of the people of East Palestine? Of course not. Crush the little people. Crush the small businesses. Crush the local economies. And everyone's dependent on this big behemoth in Washington, D.C. It's just the way the communists want it to be. Who was it that said, wasn't it Thatcher that said, you know, the socialism program works only as long as you have other people's money, but when that runs out, everything collapses. That's where we're headed. Listen again to Schiff from last night, clip 8.
And so inflation was becoming such a burden on Americans that the Fed was forced into taking action. And so it raised interest rates and pricked the bubble that it inflated. And now all these institutions are insolvent at higher interest rates. We have a bigger debt crisis now than the one we had in 2008, which was also caused by the artificially low interest rates that followed the bursting of the Nasdaq bubble when the Fed kept interest rates at 1%. That inflated the housing bubble, but this time 0% inflated a much bigger bubble, which is why we're now having a much bigger financial crisis.
A bigger crisis now than back in 2008. Remember 2008? I can remember a Trumpet article that quoted someone that said how close we were to economic Armageddon, as they called it, within moments, just a few moments away from a total collapse. And now here we are with an even bigger debt crisis. All of those years, interest rates near zero, making those treasury bonds a wise investment for the fat cats. And then runaway inflation. Brought on by, you know, it's also amazing to see how so much of this is directly connected to the scamdemic. The pandemic. That's right. COVID 2020. Everybody, we just passed the anniversary, 3-year anniversary of Fauci and Burke stepping up to the microphone saying, hey, 15 days. And then Fauci bragging later, I asked for 30 days. And then later he says, I never recommended lockdowns. I mean, he's a liar. These are all serial liars, these people. But there they were saying, we want to shut everything down. We want to. They do not even bat an eye at the thought of local businesses, small businesses just being crushed by government policy. So it shuts down. The lockdowns continue for months, months and months. And then the checks start arriving from the federal government. Hey, we'll take care of you. We'll print some money. That'll get you by. Trillions and trillions of dollars. In other words, government-created inflation. Skyrocketing inflation. This has just been in the last 2 or 3 years. Look at how much damage this communist administration, this illegitimate one at that, look at how much damage they have caused in just 2+ years. runaway inflation. So to try to keep a lid on that, they had to raise interest rates. And that's what makes these financial institutions insolvent. So now we're at an even greater debt crisis, an even bigger banking crisis than what we had in 2008. One more from Peter Schiff last night, clip 9.
But none of this would have happened had we stayed with a free market. The free market would have purged the economy from all these excesses a long time ago. And instead of having a bubble, we would have had a genuine recovery with real prosperity instead of the phony prosperity that we've enjoyed. And now the chickens have come home to roost.
None of this would have happened had we stayed with the free market principles. You know, the ones that George W. Bush decided to suspend so that he could save the free market. It's all, and it's perfect, isn't it? It's just like this issue of the trumpet. Fake, fake, fake. Everything's phony. Everything. How pertinent to what's happening in the world today have the last three issues of the Trumpet magazine been? Total fakery. It was a fake wealth. It was fake prosperity. It was propped up on debt spending. It was propped up on spending money. I mean, that's covered too in the Modern Romans, the February issue. And then, I mean, if you want to get real serious about some spiritual subjects, how about this one, the latest Trumpet magazine, April, the April edition, Are Satan and the Demons Real? Do you think they're real? In looking at the world today, in looking at the madmen running the world today, do you think Satan and the demons are real? Listen to another exchange from the Yellen testimony yesterday. This is, or did I play number 9 yet? Can't remember. We'll go ahead and play Yellen. This is clip 3.
It has been reported publicly that SVB had a large number of Chinese investors that are there, including some that were companies directly connected to the Chinese Communist Party. Will those individuals, companies, entities, and investors that are Chinese investors be made whole based on assessments in my banks in Oklahoma? So what I'm asking is, will my banks in Oklahoma pay a special assessment to be able to make Chinese investors whole from Silicon Valley Bank?
Uninsured investors will be made whole in that bank, and I suppose that could include foreign depositors, but I don't believe there's any legal basis to discriminate among uninsured.
Ah, yes. Here's where the woke ideology really clarifies things. We're not going to discriminate. If the Communist Chinese Party, if communist investors had their money in SVB, of course we'll pay them back. We're not discriminatory. We're for equality. We're for equity, you see. That's what it's all about, as I said earlier this week. Equity, equality. This is unbelievable. As I say, what nation looks out for Venezuelans walking into the country illegally, or Ukrainians fighting a war against Russia, or as Yellen says, they're communist investors and not their own people? This is how nations die by suicide. Just try to, I'm not an economist. I didn't even have that much college training. But just try to think this through, listening to what she said right there. If you're a multinational company, if you're a big time foreign investor, and you're sitting on a lot of cash, and you're looking for a place to put it, where are you going to put it other than at a big bank in the United States of America that is out there doing all kinds of risky things with the capital? And knowing though that if you yourself are risking everything, the Uncle Sam's going to pay you back. The people in Europe, Richard's been following this news over there at Edstone. There's economists and bankers in Europe that are furious right now. I mean, if you're a multinational company that's spread across the U.S. or Europe or wherever else, China, are you going to put your money in Bank of America or Deutsche Bank in Germany? Well, I think they're going to go with Bank of America. And don't fool yourself into thinking, well, this just helps America. This is killing America. It's destroying the little guy, and it's making a lot of people in Europe very nervous. very nervous, and furious at that. Angry. This is from the Financial Times. It says here, this is from just, yesterday. It says here, Europe's financial regulators are furious at the handling of the Silicon Valley Bank collapse, privately accusing U.S. authorities of tearing up a rule book for failed banks that they had helped to write. So after the economic collapse, the recession, the depression, whatever you want to call it, from 2008, all these regulators get together. I mean, it's spearheaded by the U.S. And they say, look, if this happens again, we can't deal with this the same way. We can't suspend free market policies or principles, like George W. Bush said, and so that we can save the free market. We nearly destroyed it. So it's spearheaded by the U.S. And now European regulators are looking at what the U.S. did just last week, and they're saying, what are you doing? You're violating your own rules. You've thrown out the rule book. It says here, while the disapproval has yet to be conveyed in a formal setting, some of the region's top policymakers are seething over the decision to cover all depositors at SVB, fearing it will undermine a globally agreed regime. You see where this is leading? You see why Europe's going to be ganging up on the United States before all of this is said and done? You see how that this is accelerating the fulfillment of so many dramatic prophecies in your Bible? You better get the United States and Britain in prophecy. You better study the United States and Britain in prophecy. See what it says. Here's a quote from it, by the way. I got this email just before coming on the show. This is from the U.S. and Britain. It's somewhere on the table here. The 800 number, let me give you that first. 1-866-930-3024. Here it is, U.S. and BP. You see it there on your screen. This is from Mr. Armstrong's book. Once God does add these repeated sevenfold intensity of corrective punishments on our people, when they have had their wealth, prosperity, their land, the birthright, and everything they possessed and set their hearts on taken away from them, at last they will be humbled and will cry out to God for mercy and deliverance. God is stripping away all of our wealth and prosperity, everything that we've set our hearts on for generations. People fool themselves, self-deceit. If they think they're too big to fail, if they think the United States is too big to fail, the people in Rome, like this issue brings out, the ancient Romans, they thought they were too big to fail. Well, what does the history book teach us about that? Yeah, we're mighty Rome. We'll never fail. The empire will continue forever. There's quite a few of Americans that have thought the same way. Now, I think quite a few of them are probably beginning to look around and think, this could come to an end. Look at what's happening. Look at what's happened in just the last 3 years. In U.S. and Britain in prophecy, it says, in Hosea 2, God says, in regard to our now having possessed the unprecedented wealth of the birthright promise, and it quotes from that, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Look at what we've done with this tremendous prosperity that God gave to us. We didn't earn it. Look at this great land, the United States, the breadbasket of the world. I mean, you want to talk about the seven wonders of the world. I mean, you can find an equivalent somewhere here in the United States. The blessings that God has poured down upon Manasseh and Great Britain, the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. You need to know what God says about our fabulous wealth and prosperity, our tremendous power and influence. It's all being stripped away. We have received all of this silver and gold, as it says in Hosea 2, and yet we've given it to Baal. We've served Baal instead of the great God. God says here, therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time of thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness, meaning her sins. God's just going to strip it away. It says the same thing in Isaiah 3, verses 1 and 2. Read it. The whole stay in the staff, the bread, everything. That's what's coming. These are some terrifying prophecies, sobering prophecies. But if you believe, if you study, if you believe and repent, God will look after you. God will protect you. He'll protect you from what's coming. Mr. Armstrong says here, but finally, when the correction becomes intense enough, our peoples will acknowledge their transgressions, will repent, and will seek their God. This is why God has to bring the correction upon us, so that we'll turn to Him in humble repentance, so that we'll turn to Him in faith, so that we'll look to Him and acknowledge Him and give Him great thanks and praise for all of these tremendous blessings, the prosperity, the power, the wealth, the comfort. God's given us so much. He's given us so much as a nation. But who thanks God these days? Who gives God any credit? Well, read that prophecy in Hosea, coming back to this Financial Times piece. It says here, I'm just trying to figure out what I've already read. It says, one senior Eurozone official described their shock at the total and utter incompetence of U.S. authorities. This is quite an article. It's the Financial Times. They're not, the leaders and regulators, they're not saying it openly, but this is what they're saying behind closed doors. They are shocked by the total and utter incompetence. I mean, these are, I'm sure in many ways, European socialists. And this is what they think about the communists running the government in the U.S. Total and utter incompetence, particularly after a decade and a half of long and boring meetings with Americans advocating an end to bailouts. For a decade now, the U.S. has advocated an end to this. Look, we can't do that again. It runaway inflation happens. It doesn't correct the problem. We've got to let free market principles play out. We're a capitalist society, after all. Well, you can put the nail in the coffin of capitalism, as Peter Schiff said. It's over. It says here, Europe's supervisors are particularly irate at the U.S. decision to break with its own standard of guaranteeing only the first $250,000 of deposits by invoking a systemic risk exception. So if Janet Yellen says, well, now we decided, or we've concluded, or I've spoken with the fake president, and we've determined that this one is just too big to fail. It could trigger a contagion, so we've got to save everybody, including the communist investors. Save them all. Give them everything back in its entirety. It says here, from a financial stability perspective, they really killed a fly with a sledgehammer, quotes some guy. It sets a dangerous precedent for further bailouts of uninsured deposits. It's a dangerous precedent. It's an even bigger banking crisis than in 2008. That's Peter Schiff. The guy knows what he's talking about. It says further, a former senior UK policymaker who helped negotiate global standards for bank resolution described the SVB handling as a disaster. It's disastrous what they're doing. It's almost like America's under attack, isn't it? You know the book. You've requested your book, your free copy already. Call our operators today if you haven't yet. The 2008 crisis triggered a sea change in how to handle the collapse of banks. Central to those regimes was imposing losses on owners, bondholders, and other uninsured creditors, including depositors with funds exceeding their country's guarantee limit. In other words, everyone shares in the risks, and you don't overburden the government with trillions and trillions of dollars of debt. That's going to destroy the whole system. It says here, the U.S. was a key proponent of such policies. So what do the leaders in Europe think of the United States right now? You can see why there's a great betrayal that's coming. Our lovers are going to be coming against us. Herbert Armstrong talks about that in the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. A couple more quotes here. It says, the U.S. has claimed SVB's failure will not hit taxpayers because other banks will cover the cost of bailing out uninsured depositors. Well, how do banks get their money? From the fees and the interest and all those things that they charge you, the customer. So there's the Biden people, Biden, Yellen and company out there saying it's not gonna be a burden on taxpayers. Well, with more trillions and trillions being rolled off the printing presses and inflation skyrocketing further, that's gonna hit taxpayers. That's gonna hit everyone. It says here, finally, however, a European regulator said the claim, well, it goes back to the claim about the fact that this isn't going to fall on taxpayers. One European regulator said the claim was a joke, as U.S. banks were likely to pass the cost on to the customers. At the end of the day, this is a bailout paid for by the ordinary people, and it's a bailout of the rich venture capitalists, which is really wrong. The rich venture capitalists, they get bailed out. Doesn't matter if they were just gambling away. They get bailed out, and then the ordinary taxpayers pick up the tab. This is insanity of the highest order. It says here, despite the lack of formal disapproval, Europeans' fury is being felt on the other side of the Atlantic. The risk of a global financial regulatory cooperation is that this episode reinforces lingering suspicions that when times get tough, the U.S. won't adhere to globally agreed reforms. So now, you see, they're not going to trust the U.S. from here on out. How can we trust you? I mean, you've broken away from the global order of things. We talked about this after 2008. As I say, you look at the cure being worse than the disease, as we talked about 3 years ago. Here's another case of it. It's just amazing how you see what ripples from just one bank that closes its doors. And what it leads to, and then you've got Signature on Sunday, I guess it was, and then you've got, you know, the French bank. We talked to Credit Suisse, I guess it is. How many other banks are on the verge of collapse? And how many bank regulators and how many bankers themselves, economists, are furious at the U.S. handling, the government's handling of SVB and Signature? This is from He Was Right. We have that here somewhere as well. But that's our brochure that basically just goes through all of the prophecies of God that Herbert Armstrong proclaimed throughout the course of his 50-plus year ministry. Here's one quote in particular. In 1984, Mr. Armstrong wrote that a massive banking crisis in America could suddenly result in triggering European nations to unite as a new world power larger than either the Soviet Union or the U.S. That, in turn, could bring on the Great Tribulation. I mean, look at what's happening on both sides of Europe, where you've got the United States funding most of the Ukraine operation. $125 billion, most of the military hardware. U.S. is just emptying out its reserves. Just give it to Ukraine. That's happening on the eastern side of Europe. And then you've got this side over here across the Atlantic. You've got banks collapsing. You've got Biden spending trillions and trillions of dollars. It's leading to a spectacular collapse like this world has never seen. Like Mr. Armstrong says in U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, I mean, the bigger you are, the harder the fall. It says here, this is from 1956, what we fail to grasp, this is more about the communist infiltration. Well, first, why don't we play that clip since Mr. Armstrong, we quote him and he was right, but we talked about that 84 article where he spoke of the coming economic collapse and how that would trigger, that would serve as the trigger to really bring those 10 nations together, prophesied in Revelation 17. Here's a clip from a sermon that Mr. Armstrong gave back in 1984, the same time period. This is clip 13.
But I believe that some event is going to happen suddenly, just like out of a blue sky, that is going to shock the whole world and is going to cause the nations of Europe to realize they must unite. Well, he said he believed that would have to happen too. Well, now I think I can see what may be the very event that is going to trigger it, and that is the economic situation in the world.
The economic situation triggering these end-time prophecies culminating in the return of Jesus Christ. Now, in He Was Right, there's also that chapter we've referred to so many times about the prophesied communist infiltration of the United States. Here's what it says. It quotes Mr. Armstrong from 1956. "What we fail to grasp in the struggle with Russia is this. We are not fighting a single nation in a military war, but a gigantic worldwide plainclothes army masquerading as a political party seeking to conquer the world with an entirely new kind of warfare, I should say. Money's on the mind. Warfare, it says, it's a kind of warfare we don't understand or know how to cope with. It uses every diabolical means to weaken us from within, sapping our strength, perverting our morals, sabotaging our educational system." This has all happened. This is all prophecy fulfilled. "Wrecking our social structure." I was going to get into that in the second segment. I'm running out of time, however, so I'll get into it next week. "Destroying our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power." This is what they want to do in order to centralize all of their power to control everything. We've got to actually weaken the industrial and economic power or might of the United States of America. It's all by design. It's all according to the plan. It's all fundamental transformation. So they get out there and they say, hey, everything's solid. Everything's secure. I mean, the banking in the U.S. has never been better. Even as you see all of these casualties all around. Communism is a worldwide psychological warfare. Again, he was right. He was right. He was. If you don't have that brochure, call our operators. The 800 number again, 1-866-930-3024. And speaking of he was right, even after you look back at the trumpet, the Philadelphia trumpet's been around now for more than 30 years. And one of the articles I gave to you earlier talked a lot about what happened in 2008. We're familiar with that, so many of us, and some of us are old enough to remember the near collapse of the year 2000. That quote I gave to you by Mr. Armstrong, by the way, my father has referred to that as Mr. Armstrong's greatest personal prophecy. If you think back to the dot-com bust in 2000, a lot of people thought that was the end of the end for the American economy. And soon after that, my father gave that memorable message, who can forget, May 5th, 2001, how that we've entered into the last hour. If you think about 2008, where the American economy was just hanging by a thread, that's 2008. And in that same year, my father talked about the United States passing the point of no return, same year. And then now this, just going back to 2008, and that, as he said it, the greatest personal prophecy, Herbert Armstrong's prophecy, that an economic collapse is what's going to trigger the rise of the beast power and the onset of the Great Tribulation. My father gave a program, this was back in February of 2015, titled Herbert Armstrong's Greatest Personal Prophecy. This is clip 14.
I'm going to show you how spectacularly that prophecy is being fulfilled, that personal prophecy of Mr. Armstrong. But why would he make a statement like that? Well, because he knows that and talked about the banks all being tied together in the Western world. And the United States is the leader, has been. It's losing that leadership very rapidly, but it has been in the past the leader of that financial tie that all these nations have. But Mr. Armstrong saw this crisis looming in 1984, which was a long time ago, the very crisis that really part of it that we experienced in 2008. And I'll tell you, we're getting a strong warning today that there's going to be another one like that, another meltdown financially, if we don't wake up and make some radical changes. But who's listening to what few warnings there are? Well, again, Mr. Armstrong saw that it's going to take something some kind of an emergency, some kind of a crisis to really bring these nations together.
That's my father from 2015, highlighting some of the points we made earlier in this segment. In a 2008 Trumpet article, this is from September 2008, my father said, "The United States economy is suffering a series of distressing shocks." It says here, regarding Freddie Mae, Fannie Mae, it says here, "The government is bailing them out, but is already so deeply indebted that it needs to be bailed out." See, that when the United States government needs to be bailed out, who's going to come help us? China? You think those Chinese investors that had their money in SVB, you think they're going to help the federal government in its time of need? It says the dollar is quickly losing value. Well, that's certainly true today. Job losses are reaching into the hundreds of thousands. Herbert W. Armstrong often said that a global crisis could be sparked by an economic collapse in the U.S. It says, as these headlines keep getting worse, those words have been ringing in my ears. They should be. They should be ringing in our ears today. When you read that Financial Times piece, when you look at what's happening, when you listen to Janet Yellen, when you hear Joe Biden come out on Monday saying that everything's fine, I mean, when he says that, you know it's about to blow up. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with a few emails, some emails that have come in from you, the dear viewer. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. One third of your Bible is prophecy, and 90% of it is for our time today. This is why, when you study Bible prophecy, you often read statements like, "in that day," "in the last days," and "at the time of the end." Biblical prophecy is what makes the Bible so relevant to today, so essential to understanding our modern world. Most people, even in the world of religion, assume that nations like Britain, America, Germany, Russia, and China are not mentioned in Bible prophecy. But if prophecy is mainly for our time today, how could the Bible ignore some of the most powerful and prominent nations of today? The key to understanding prophecy is knowing the biblical identities of modern nations. Learn about these identities in Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. In this book, you will learn about the astonishing identity of the American and British people in biblical prophecies. Request your free copy today. The United States and Britain in Prophecy.
The Trumpet Daily.
North Korea launched two cruise missiles from a submarine on Sunday, according to its state-run Korean Central News Agency. The launch occurred one day before the United States and South Korea began joint military drills, which North Korea sees as an act of aggression. North Korea launched a record number of test missiles and simulated retaliatory strikes last year, and it has continued to conduct regular missile tests this year. North Korea's profuse missile launches are concerning because of the nation's potential nuclear capability. However, the greater danger comes from the source of that nuclear capability. The constant goading by North Korea is only made possible by support from Russia and China. Bible prophecy indicates that these Eastern powers will only increase their aggression against the West and its allies. Arms imports by European NATO countries increased 65% from 2018 to 2022 compared to the previous 5 years, Stockholm-based research institute SIPRI revealed in its new arms trade statistics. Arms imports in the Asia-Pacific region also increased dramatically. Japan's arms imports increased by 171%, and South Korea's imports increased by 61%. The war in Ukraine has pushed many European nations to increase militarization. Asia continues to militarize in competition with the West. Prophecy speaks of a militarily strong 10-nation alliance in Europe, led by Germany, that will rise on the world scene very soon. Other prophecies predict an alliance of Asian nations led by Russia, which will field a massive military presence. Europe and Asia's involvement in the global arms race is a step toward the fulfillment of these prophecies. A Russian fighter plane collided with a United States surveillance drone on March 14th, causing it to crash into the Black Sea. Two Russian fighter jets were provoking the MQ-9 Reaper drone before one of them clipped the drone's propeller. Russia denies making contact with the drone. According to the Russian Defense Ministry, the drone went down because it made a sharp maneuver and lost control of its flight pattern. The U.S. drone was flying in international airspace, but Russia's Defense Ministry claims it intruded into Russian airspace. Russia's relationship with the U.S. is being heavily tested over the Ukraine conflict. But Russia's harassment is most concerning to those in Europe, especially in neighboring territories. The more aggressive Russia gets, the more the stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
There's your current news segment for this Friday edition of The Trumpet Daily. Well done. I liked the part there where Russia denied taking down the drone, even though it's on video. But that's what communists do. Even if they're caught, they still deny it. They still deny it. Just like we've seen with all the footage from January 6th. I had a piece here that I didn't get to in the first segment. It's from Bloomberg. It's on how the DOJ is planning to arrest 1,000 more protesters from January 6th. 1,000, even though more footage is showing them just milling around. One guy went in there for 50 seconds, he's out, and they're trying to throw him in prison, just like Jacob Chansley. So even if it's on video, that doesn't stop them from lying. No. It was a deadly insurrection. I think 5 police officers were murdered. It might be 7 now. It could be 30. It could be 50. Will worship. You see it in communist leadership all over the world. No, we didn't shoot anything down. No, it's on video. Yes, you did. Or at least you took it down. You clipped it. Pretty amazing. This is an email from one of our viewers saying, yesterday's show, you masterfully put all the pieces together to form the clearest picture yet on the planned pandemic, the stolen election, and the fake insurrection. This may well have been the best TD ever. Wow, that's high praise from one of our viewers. Considering all the people involved in the steal and the cover-up, how is it that no one from the federal government or colluding media will come forward as a whistleblower, especially given that the House of Representatives is under Republican control? It says Satan has frightening power. He has frightening power, but it's exciting, as he goes on to say, to think about how God is going to straighten this out or sort all of this out. Here again, the latest Trumpet magazine, Satan. Are Satan and the demons real? If you're not yet a subscriber to the Trumpet magazine, which is a magazine that gives you tomorrow's news today, I mean, why would you not subscribe to a magazine such as that? Make sure that you call that number there at the bottom of your screen and become a Trumpet subscriber today. Another one here from Florida says, always a pleasure to listen to the Trumpet Daily as we strive to understand our present evil world. We particularly found today's TD interesting with regards to the discussion about COVID-19 and the government's admission of its origins as a lab leak in China. This was from earlier in the week. Another viewer from South Africa says, as usual, your presentation is on the spot. I do enjoy your programs on a daily basis, giving us God's point of view. The Bible study is always right on point. That's from South Africa. This last one here is from Oklahoma, right here in Oklahoma, where we have a lot of small banks. It says here, I just finished watching your most inspiring TD. Thank you so much for all your daily programs as they uplift and strengthen me. As the world we live in, totally ruled by the devil and demons, hurls rapidly towards destruction, I truly appreciate you giving us God's perspective and hope in his soon coming kingdom. If you'd like to write the show, the email address, td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us for today's show. Thanks for joining us all week. And we'll see you next time.